I've not known your pastor before this weekend, but I am convinced that we are brothers from different mothers. I won't explain that, I'll just say it. I feel like we've been at camp meeting tonight. The musicians are phenomenal. Oh man, great. And we attend a church that is totally contemporary with music. Oh dear Lord. I can go both ways. But if I were choosing, it would be what we've done tonight. Okay? I heard Glenn Messer say once, and it kind of changed my mind on contemporary. He said, I would buy every tape and CD or whatever's out there of contemporary music if my son would listen to it and get back to the Lord. That kind of snapped something in my mind, and I thought, hey, let's sing anything and everything that's morally correct and biblically sound, and hopefully we'll draw people into the kingdom. So, but I really appreciate tonight. Ladies, thank you so much. Everybody get a stick, a popsicle? I had my back turned to the crowd, so I don't know exactly who said it, but somebody said, hey, somebody ate my popsicle. Was that you? All right, I want to just share some stories with you tonight. And I'm going to start with my time that I worked with the Lausanne Committee for World Evangelization. When Roger Parrott called me, he said, Elmer, you need to do this. It's only for a year, but it'll be a hoot. That's just the words he used. And my job was to raise money from churches all over the country to help support this huge congress that took place in Manila. And I had the opportunity to go then to that congress. I got invitations for my seminary roommate, Padu Meshramkar, who was a third-generation Nazarene from the state of Maharashtra and the city of Washam, India. And you're amazed I could pronounce those words, aren't you?
No, that's where my friend
lives. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You've been there?
Yes.
I told you, we're brothers from different mothers. It's kind of, we shouldn't get together too often. But I had got an invitation for Padu, and then an invitation for Larry Lacrome. You ever hear of Larry Lacrome? He's a song evangelist in the Church of the Nazarene, travels on a big bus, and so the three of us representing the Church of the Nazarene, well, and Roger was there representing the Church of the Nazarene, but phenomenal to be there in Manila, and some wonderful things happened. I heard in Manila the story that I shared with you this morning, and if that doesn't grip your heart, I have used that illustration because I met the man and heard it. I have used that maybe 50 times, and every time I repeat it, I weep. So thankful for what God has blessed me with, but so hungry to help our brothers and sisters around the world who are giving their lives, literally, to spread the good news of the gospel. Had a wonderful time in Manila. The first time in my life I ever ate a quail egg. I like them. And then we got into the garbage dump in Manila where people live. Just tore my heart out. Kind of to our seminary there, just a wonderful time, but just amazing to be a part of that. The next Lausanne Congress that I attended was in Russia, and something interesting happened in Russia, several things. On the street, kids would come running up to us, bazooka, bazooka, asking for bubble gum. And I learned quickly that if you give them bubble gum, they'd get you anything you wanted. I happened to mention that the officers going by in these hats... Pretty sharp, huh? I said to one teenager, I said, I'll give you this whole bag of bazooka. Get me one of those hats. 10 minutes later, he came back. It's illegal to take these out of the Soviet Union. Any policemen here tonight? CIA, FBI? Okay. I'm safe temporarily. But I got this hat in Russia. I got another one in Russia that I'm going to present to your pastor. And after the service, we're going to be available for pictures, if you'd like. By the way, these are official. I want to wear the spiffy one, so you can wear this one. This is an officer's hat. This is that's a private's hat there. Got to cock it just a little. Just cock it just a little. There you go. Now we're cooking. While in Russia, we had plenary sessions. And so many people were in attendance at these plenary sessions that we had to rent a hall next door where we had televised the services. And I was a part of registration, there in Russia. And when the plenary hall had filled up, I moved next door to usher people in and help them. I sat up kind of ways off the platform. And I, as I sat down, two people came in and sat next to me. And right away, I realized it was Dr. Robert Schuller. So my mind says, gotta get his autograph. I wasn't even listening to what the person on the screen was saying. I'm being honest. And the person on the screen said, I want you to get together in groups of three or four, and we're going to pray together. I didn't hear that. They did. They moved right over next to me, and Mrs. Schuller said, we want you to pray for us. Right away, the autograph didn't seem so important. Now listen to this is what they wanted me to pray for. Now, whatever you think about Dr. Robert Schuller, he's touched a lot of lives from the Crystal Cathedral. And, you know, he preached the truth. He added some things to it, but he preached the truth, and a lot of people accepted Christ through his ministry. Mrs. Schuller said, we want you to pray with us. Several years ago, our daughter was in a terrible motorcycle accident and lost one of her legs. And she's been wearing a prosthesis. She's pregnant. In fact, we're leaving this Congress to go back home to be with her. She's going to deliver that baby. But she's heartbroken because the doctor told her she could not carry that baby for at least 6 months because once she lost her birth weight, she needed to get used to mobility on that prosthesis. And he said it would just be too dangerous for you to be carrying that baby around, still getting used that artificial leg. And Mrs. Schuller said, would you pray for us? We're struggling over this because we know how important it is for a new mother to carry that child. Now, she could sit and hold the baby, but she couldn't carry that baby for up to at least 6 months. I prayed with them, and I realized something very important. Number one, you got to listen to what's happening on the screen. And number two, those people that we think are way up here, they're just people, and they're God's children, and they have special needs and cares and concerns just like you and me. And I learned that day. Very, very important to me. I'll take a swig first. You can have the next one. Someone said, what was your favorite place to be on your trips? I've been to India twice. And India is a tough trip to make. The first time was on a work witness trip, and we were preparing the Reynolds Memorial Hospital so that they could do a second floor. And you got to learn something about India. I'd never seen anything like it. Got off the plane, and it's now Mumbai, but it was Bombay then. And we were met by Padu Meshramkar and another little guy. I can't think of his name now, but... Then we got on a train and we rode 10 hours. And the train is an experience. You don't ride the train alone, especially if you have luggage or anything that's of any value. We huddled in a group and somebody stayed up to keep watch. If not, you'd wake up in the morning sitting there with your shoes and everything gone, your luggage and the restroom on the train is a hole in the floor with 2 foot pads. And you can see the tracks going by. Ladies, you probably wouldn't like that. Very, very depressed as far as what we're used to. And the people are beautiful. That dark skin, and they smile, these pearly white smile. And the children, when we went in town, they had to surround me, our team, because my heart went out to the mothers and little babies. I'm reaching for my wallet. I want to help them. You know, and a dollar in those days is quite a few rupees, would really be a big help to them. But they had to surround me to keep me from giving away everything I had while in India. But I was amazed at the building practices. They would go out and take sticks. Normally, we shore up a floor if we're going to pour it in concrete. They would take spindly poles, and they had loads of them, but they put them, and that's how they shored up. And then we were tying steel on the second floor, which would be poured for concrete. And they had a local contractor who was in charge of the project, of course, to get permits and things. And he kept saying to us, T-I-I, T-I-I. Then he'd go like this, T-I-I. Finally, we asked, what's T-I-I? He said, this is India. You're working too fast. Well, we want to get the job done, go on to something else. He said, T-I-I, this is India. And he explained to us that those workers were getting a few rupees a day, which meant food for their families. And if we got the job done, there would be no work for them. T-I-I, this is India. Slow down. Let them earn their wages. It happened to be over Thanksgiving time when we were there. You're going to laugh. Guess what we had for Thanksgiving dinner? Well, that was curry and more curry and more curry. And boy, when they make curry, it's hot stuff. Anyone take a guess? No. Spam. Spam. They asked for us to bring over cans of Spam, and we had suitcases full of Spam. That they loved it. And so our Thanksgiving dinner, and we invited this contractor and some of his workers, was with Spam. The little lady that was cooking for us was Indian, and she wanted to do something American for us. She made a pizza. God love her. She really wanted to do something nice for us. But the pizza, the crust was so thin, I think she could have used a piece of cardboard. And she put sauce on it, ketchup. Ketchup is sweet. It's not like tomato paste. Who? Oh, yeah, Luke. Is he out tonight? Tell Luke he'd love pizza in Africa. India, excuse me. Then she put... She said vegetables from the garden, which I didn't recognize. And, of course, you know, when someone does something like that for you, which is a nice gesture, you've got to eat it. And I did. And this is the truth. I could not eat pizza when I got back to the States for over a year, could I? When Cheryl said, let's go out for pizza. Kentucky Fried, please, Kentucky Fried. I was invited back a year. Let me finish that about the... Pouring concrete was amazing. They had a concrete mixer, one of those round ones. It was a larger size, but not a truck. Concrete mixer, and somebody had to throw the cement and the water and the sand in and mix it. Then women dressed in saris, you know, they looked like a pajama outfit. Best way I can explain it. They had these flat bowls on their head. They would fill those bowls with concrete. They would walk up a ladder to the second floor, they'd go to the farthest corner, and they would dump the concrete. That went on all day long until they had poured a floor between 4 and 6 inches thick. It was incredible. I've got pictures. I should have brought them, but it was incredible to see how they worked. But they were getting a few rupees, and those few rupees would feed their family. Remember, TII, this is India. I went back a year later to be a part of the dedication. Our district superintendent couldn't go, and people over there, I'd become good friends with Dr. Noel, who was the hospital administrator, and of course, my seminary roommate, Padu, and his wife and family were there. So I went back representing our district. It was a North Carolina district project, and they had the second floor completed, and they were dedicating. They had a nice plaque, and I was there with Dr. Gerald Porter and his wife, Tony. She grew up in this district, didn't she, Tony?
Washington.
Oh, Washington district. But what a wonderful opportunity. They also had the nurse's capping ceremony, and we were a part of that. And then I had opportunity to preach in one of the local churches, and amazing, as I was going up to the platform, my seminary roommate stopped me. He said, wait, take your shoes off. He said, customary, take your shoes off when you're going up on the platform. So I did, took my shoes off. And just wonderful times, still wonderful friends. Padu and Suda came over to visit us here in the States. We were in Binghamton, New York. We took them out picking strawberries. And, of course, I don't know if you've ever picked strawberries. You get the biggest, ripest ones you can because usually you're paying by weight. And so when we got to pay, Cheryl and I get, we have the kids with us. Our baskets were full of big, beautiful strawberries. Padu and Suda's were full of these little half-ripe things. And so when we got home, I said, Padu, why did you get these big berries? He said, well, in India, We don't have strawberries. If we do, we take anything we can get. Another lesson for me on to be thankful for what we can get. Really thankful for what we can get. If I give you this bubble gum, what can you get for me? Don't chew it in church, okay? You're a good man. I'm going to be watching. I have some. Where's the basket full of names? We're going to need that basket. I'm sorry. We should have started this sooner. Yeah, bring that down if you would. You're going to have 10 seconds when you hear your name called to come up and select one of these items. These are treasures from around the world. Someone said, what are these? I just picked these up last week at the Christmas show in Charlotte. These are hair picks that are hand-tooled. And the girl, I said to her, I said, you're from Africa? Oh, yes. I said, have you ever heard of Africa Nazarene University? Oh, I pass it every day on my way to work in Nairobi, Kenya. Small world, isn't it? And these are made by women very close to where the Africa Nazarene University is located. Now, here's what we're going to do. I want you to marry my grandson someday, okay? Don't think about it now, but we'll talk later. Are you her dad? Oh, boy. Stay seated. We'll be friends. I said to Cheryl earlier, I said, look at that girl. Wouldn't Jamie love her? I think you'd love Jamie, but not now. You know, 10 years down the road, we'd be thinking about it. Would you come up and help me for a minute? Grab a name out of here. What? No, no, not Big Jamie. No, no. He's already married. Just grab a name out of there for me. And who is it? Nina. Come on down. I want to thank Nina and Chris and the kids for allowing us to stay in a fantastic, thank you, my dear, a fantastic place. I hope the church is paying or something to use that facility. Nina, anything you want. And you've enjoyed having us?
Yes, even though I haven't seen you much.
She's enjoyed having us. She said, I haven't seen you much. That's why she's enjoyed having us. You want to grab another one for me? There you go. Sean! Hey, these are kids. Come on. Sean, anything you want. I'm looking for the thing the pastor put in his pocket, but I see it's back here. We're okay. Aha. That's called a yapalalka. That's African for anteater, I think. Dig way down in the pile and grab one more for now, then we'll get some more later. There we go. Who's that? Charlotte Berkemeyer? Berkheimer. All right. Thank you, my dear. We'll get some more later. Okay.
You only got 10 seconds. You better run the line.
You can't have that.
I can't.
No, I'm just teasing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Ooh, that was close. Let's have a drink. Everybody did get a popsicle stick. We're gonna close the service. I've only got a few minutes because of all the singing the pastor had you do tonight. He said, take as long as you want. We want to be out of here by 7. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. The most difficult work witness trip I've ever taken is to Paris, France. Now, I know what you're thinking. Paris, France. I mean, that was a sightseeing tour for sure. And it was a wonderful, wonderful trip, but I worked like a dog. We all did. The first year we went, we stayed away from the project, was down in a kind of a bad part of town, and we had to take the subway to get there. And there's one thing there are a lot of in Paris, France. Someone take a guess. What? Yeah, a lot of French people. Oh, my goodness. Are you in one of the exhilarated classes, huh? There are a lot of pickpockets. In fact, one day we're getting off the subway, and the treasurer for our district, Mel Fry, had I call it a fanny pack, but, you know, one of those things. And there were a bunch of teenagers that had gotten on, and he was joking and talking with them. And they got off, and as they got off, he realized they'd clipped his fanny pack and taken it. You know, just innocent. It looked innocent to him, but they were gone with it. But we stayed away from the work site, and every day we had a half an hour trip to get to the work site. We sent some of our ladies next door to a laundromat, and they were selling drug deals going on in the laundromat. Really shook them up. They came back tremendous amount of work that we got done there in a church. I had a privilege that Sunday to speak in three different language groups. They had three different services. If you've ever preached with an interpreter, it's difficult. You ever done that, Pastor? Because one thing about a pastor, if you feel like you're in the groove and you've got what's coming out is coming out and flowing, you got to stop and listen to the interpreter. And then the one interpreter, no inflection in her voice. Our God is so great. And I'm thinking, you know, did they get that concept? But it was a privilege to three different language groups that use that facility. And we worked hard on that facility. The second time we went back to France, we worked in Versailles. And we worked on a building that was, 500 years old. And every day, the Historical Society, observers had to come in and be sure that what we were doing was going to authenticate the history of this building and not destroy it in any way. And a lady from my home church and I, we had the privilege of taking down a suspended ceiling. And the stuff that came down with that ceiling, I got ill. We should have had masks, and of course, you know, we're going to get in there and work. And they went on a boat ride that night and dinner out on a cruise. What is it, the Seine that flows through here? I had to stay in. I didn't miss a day's work, but I missed the sightseeing trip. But that was one of the hardest trips I've been on as far as work. And, of course, the witness comes a lot of times from the work you're doing and the attitude you show as you work with the people in that area. A delightful trip is Alaska. And where's my friend Ernie? I nicknamed him Ernie because he looks like a guy we know, Ernie Craig's twin brother. Been to Alaska, right? I've been to Alaska twice, and one of the trips, a guy 80 years old from our local church, it was a district trip, and he was with us, and Jimmy Cochran, he wanted to go fishing. So we had canoes there. This is the Nazarene District Campgrounds is right on a lake, Big Lake, Alaska, and it's east of Wasilla. Anybody know who lives in Wasilla? Sarah, the next vice president of the United States. I don't think we could handle two women at once, do you? So let's just not vote. A lot can happen between now and then. Don't get your hopes up. Let me get back to this. We went out in a canoe, and he was catching lake trout, rainbow lake trout. I'm talking like this. And third night we went out, he got another one. I used the same lures, the same line, everything. And he's pulling in lake trout, and I'm getting nothing. We came into the dock, and I reached out, and in a canoe, I was up front, you know, you take turns paddling, one on the left side, one on the right. I reached out to grab the dock just as he made one more pass. I should have let go of the dock. I didn't. You know what happened? I baptized Jimmy Cochran. And the poor guy. We both fell in the water. And Glenn Messer, who was our team leader, laughed so hard he wouldn't even help us out. And Jimmy, this is cold water at Big Lake, Alaska. What was it, in September? And Jimmy's hollering, my tackle box, my tackle box. I said, you didn't bring a tackle box. He said, I did. What he brought was a little Ziploc bag with his lures and some extra line. And he was struggling to get that little Ziploc. Well, you know, the joke went around the team. If you haven't been baptized, don't go in a canoe with Elmer Wilson. You're going in the water. It ruined his phone, and I tried to replace that from him. He wouldn't, you know. He calls me about once a month now. How you doing? I said, how you doing? Great guy. Great guy. 80 years old. He worked, kept up with everybody. Alaska's a wonderful trip because it's doable as far as cost-wise goes. About $1,500, I think, for everything. And you work. We cut wood for their winter supply. We filled a shed just from top to bottom, literally, from the floor up to the peak, with wood all cut to size so that they can use it. It was interesting in their dining hall. Somebody had painted the support poles to look like birch trees. And I went over, how many of you have seen the movie, what's the Christmas movie? You know, the Christmas Story. Have you ever seen that? And the little kid goes up to the outside pole. They dare him, triple dog, double dare him, and he puts his tongue and it sticks. So I went over and did that to one of the birch poles. It wouldn't stick because it was inside. And they snapped pictures of that. They thought it was the greatest thing around. Who else would have done that had they been there? I don't want to name anybody, but who do you think might have done? Wayne, are we having fun? Boy, you look good in that hat. I have a feeling that that's going to show up, pictures that people will take later, in a district periodical sometime, someplace. Work witness trips will change your life forever. The people you meet, and one of the most important things that happens with the team, the work witness team, you become a little family. One of our trips to Africa, the missionaries were having some issues among themselves. And we asked them to join us for our devotional times. In the morning, we would have devotions. In the evening, we would have devotions. And my first trip to Africa, Bill Vincent, who was our district work witness director, had, I didn't know it at the time, he has a beautiful voice. And he had me lead the singing. And he said, I don't like to preach with an interpreter. Will you preach? Of course, if I have an opportunity, I'd love to get up for it. It's funny because that one interpreter did everything I did. I got rolling along and you know, I did this one time. That interpreter did this one time. Everything I did motion-wise, that interpreter did the same. But had a wonderful time. But where was I? Africa. Get back from Africa. We're at a district assembly, and Bill gets up on the platform in a rocking chair, holds his little daughter at the time, and sings Butterfly Kisses. I nearly went up on the stage and slapped him. He has a beautiful baritone voice, and he's got me leading the singing. You know, it'd be like me trying to take Debbie's place at the piano. Now, I could. I can play two or three Christmas carols from memory because I got a color-coded thing when I was a kid. So you learn it that way. How many been on a work witness trip? How many would like to go on a work witness? Be honest. Great. And talking to my new friend Ernie Craig there, there are some more being planned. One other thing on my bucket list is to make a trip to South America someplace. Is that South America?
Yeah.
I thought that was Africa.
By Venezuela, north of Brazil.
Ooh. How long a trip to fly?
Depends where you fly out of.
Where do you fly out of?
We went out of Washington. Newark, it was 6 hours. You go out of.
Oh, that isn't bad. We ready to draw another name? All right. I'm just going to have to do this quickly because it's almost 7. Who's that?
Me.
Good job, Bella. Good job. Woohoo! I was going to let you take one, but you just got it anyway. Go ahead. Take something there. Oh. That's the engagement bracelet. Oh, yeah. No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's get another one. Linda Nyhart. 1001, 1002, 1003. There's lots of good stuff here. Ah, you know what that's called? A babushka doll. Okay. That one opens up 3 times. I got one in the Soviet Union, opens up 9 times. And the smallest one is about that big, and our granddaughter constantly plays with that doll, and I'm always after her. Be careful of the littlest one, because it, you know, vacuum cleaner would have that gone. All right, let's do another one. Mike Root. Mike. Where'd you get your own? No, 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 Mike. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, this guy. Is he the treasure? Come on. Kate, one more, and then we'll move on. Helen Schaller? Shawley? What? Shawley? Helen, great. All right, thank you, my dear. Bella Wilson. That's a kind of a nice ring, doesn't it? Dad's not convinced. You sure can.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm surprised nobody's grabbing this. I showed them this morning. This has a secret drawer. Isn't that neat? I want to tell you a story, but let's finish this up before that, because I want to close with that. Let's have someone else draw. Ernie Craig, come on down. You're going to start calling him Ernie Craig. I wished I had a picture of Ernie Craig to show you, because they're brothers.
Lori Jo.
Lori Jo Showalter? You're very welcome. Now, is this the one I put the $50 bill in? You see how that unscrews? Yeah. Nope. But you can hide something in. When I left the church this morning, the pastor had this in his hand and it was going toward his pocket. But he's an honest man above everything else.
Thank
and he
you.
Put it back. All right, let's grab a couple more here and see what we can get.
Eugene
Swartzlander. Eugene? All right.
We'll give him 15 seconds.
In Africa, we went to, I guess you call it a marketplace, where people come and bring their goods. And they love to barter. If they've got a price on it that says a dollar, I'm just using this as an example. Ah, you got the secret drawer. All right.
He's not going to show you where it's at. It's in there.
But they love to barter. All right, we've got 3 more. I'm going to let the 2 hair picks go as one because they're 2 different colors.
Chaz. Hey, Chaz.
All right, he's not paying attention.
Chaz Bartholomew.
Okay. You don't want to come up?
We don't know which one goes up.
I think that one's from Egypt, made out of bulrushes. Cool, huh? And we've got two more.
David Showalter.
Those are hair picks from Nairobi, Kenya. Take them both because we'll use them as one. They're two different colors. All right?
A little goodness here.
Dennis Sowers.
Dennis.
Come on up and pick from the many prizes that are left.
Thank you, Scott. It's really not Ernie Craig, it's Scott. I needed to meet you, and you got away this morning before I could.
Oh.
I'm the guy that took your son and daughter-in-law to Maine last year. They didn't want to come home. His son and daughter-in-law attend Harrisburg Bethany Church of the Nazarene, and they joined us in Maine last year, and we had a great time, great time. And I hope they'll go back. Maybe they'll take mom and pop back with them. Good fishing, good fishing. I'm going to read and tell this because it's a true story and it's gripping. And I want you to get your popsicle stick out and hold it in your hand because we're going to close in a very special way and I'm going to give you an assignment. And this reminds me of coming out of anesthesia. You know, they let you suck on ice cubes. You know, you're starved, your mouth is dry. And one time I happened to ask, couldn't I have a popsicle? Because there was some flavor to it. And yes, they'll give you a popsicle. So every time that I've had two knee replacements and some other stuff going on, and every time I come out, I say, I got a popsicle. But that's not what this is about. This is another story that I heard and I wrote it down, so I'm going to read and tell it. And this takes place in the remote portion of Africa. One day a man from a remote tribe in Africa came out of the bush and he made his way out of the bush country into a more populated area of the country and he happened to stumble across a missionary who had gathered a group of people at the outskirts of a village and he was talking to them about Jesus. And it was in his own language. So he moved over to the group that was meeting there and he listened in his own language and he heard the missionary talking about this man, Jesus. By the way, the best place you and I can invest money in evangelism these days is in the Jesus film. For every dollar we invest, a soul accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the Church of the Nazarene was asked, I think the joint was of World Vision or Campus Crusade, was asked to join them in the follow-up to the presentation of the Jesus film. That's important, folks, that a parachurch group like Campus Crusade would recognize the importance of the Church of the Nazarene's follow-up in missionary efforts and endeavors. But really, I raise money wherever I can for the Jesus film. Every $3 that is raised, one soul will accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I heard someone say one time, I don't know if it was an evangelist or a missionary, say that if you want to really be a part of spreading the good news of the gospel, find an area in the world where something's happening for Christ and the church and get involved there. Well, the Jesus film is happening all over the world. And every $3 invested, a soul accepts Christ as Lord and Savior. Phenomenal. My son called me last week and he said, Dad, 2 weeks ago, he said, we had a project here that the children started. We're raising money for motorbikes to help people get out into the bush country on motorbikes. They can cover a lot more ground more quickly to share the Jesus film. He said, guess what we raised? I said, well, how much does a motorbike cost? He said, $2,000. I don't know. I said, $5,000, $6,000. He said, we raised $12,000. And the children started by bringing in $500 from nickels and dimes and pennies and whatever. And then this last week he called, because we're on our way from here to spend Thanksgiving with them. In fact, I'm meeting with their missionary council tomorrow night. They want to talk about a work witness trip to Africa. And he said, guess what we've got now? I said, I'm afraid to guess. He said, it's over 15,000 and still growing. Fantastic. Motorbikes to help take the Jesus film around. It was in his language, so he stopped and he listened, and his heart was touched. After the presentation ended, he approached the missionary, and he asked the missionary if someone could be sent to his village. It was way off in the bush. And the missionary said, "I'll have to check with my home office, but you come back next month, same time, same place, and I'll have an answer for you." A month passed, and the missionary approached this outpost for his regular scheduled monthly visit, and he saw someone waiting at the edge of the group of huts. It was this native who had come way out of the bush. And when he saw the missionary coming, he ran up to the missionary. He said, "Can you get somebody to come to my village and tell us about this man, Jesus?" The missionary said, "I'm so sorry." He said, "I checked with the home office. We just don't have anyone available, and it would be expensive to get someone out there. I'm so sorry." He taught his lesson. The man stayed. Then he left and went back to his tribe. A month later, as the missionary approached this village for his regular monthly Bible study and visit, as the missionary approached this outpost, this man came running up to him, and he had a bundle. And he presented to the missionary. The missionary opened it, and he said, "This is all the money I could collect from every hut and every family in my village. Can you send somebody now?" The missionary opened the little bundle, and it equaled to about $25 U.S. And he said, "I'm so sorry. It's just not enough." He said he almost wept. With an awful ache in his heart and broken voice, the missionary tried to apologize as they told his native it just wasn't enough. Several months passed, and the missionary was in this same spot, and it was at night. A big bonfire was burning, and the missionary was talking and teaching them about Jesus, this man called Jesus. Out of the darkness, this native approached, and he had a bundle. And the bundle was a bundle of sticks. He came over, and he sat down by the fire, and he said to the missionary, "I've collected a stick from every single person in my village." He took one of the sticks out, and he threw it in the fire. He said, "This is Grandpa so-and-so. He's very old. He's very sick. And if someone doesn't come soon to tell him about this man Jesus, he'll never know." He took out another stick, and he named the person that stick represented. And he did that and threw them each in the fire until every stick had burned. And he said to the missionary as he turned to leave, "Please, please send someone to my village to tell us about this man Jesus." You have a popsicle stick in your hand. Think about the story you just heard. Here's what I want you to do, if you will. I want you to write the name of someone on this stick that you feel needs to meet Jesus. You say, "Well, preacher, that means I'm judging." The Bible says unless we confess with our lips that Jesus Christ is Lord, we're not a part of the family. Okay? Don't be a judge. We all need prayer. Amen? I want you to write on that stick someone who you feel needs to hear about Jesus. Maybe needs to meet him personally. And here's what I want you to do. Every day between now and Easter, I want you to use that stick as a bookmark. I want you to stick it on your refrigerator. With that name on the stick, I want you to pray for that person. And as you pray, I want you to be open for the Holy Spirit to lead you. Several months ago now, my brother-in-law called and said, "I just wanted to tell you that my brother, Bud, is in intensive care up at the University Place Hospital. He didn't ask us to call. He just wanted to keep us informed. Bud, in his early 80s, obesely overweight, went to Eastern Nazarene College, paid his way through by singing in nightclubs, had a beautiful voice. He had a stage name of Buddy, I can't think of the last name, huh? Buddy Allen. Some of you would know him, Bud Sipes. His folks attended Collindale Church of the Nazarene. Bud got tangled up with the wrong crowd. Alcohol ruined his life, but gambling. There were years on end when his family did not hear from him because he was running from the collection agents because of his gambling debts. Then all of a sudden he would appear. Then he'd be gone. He finally got his life straightened around as far as the gambling debts were concerned, but never attended church, great guy, just a gorgeous voice. Both Cheryl and I said almost simultaneously, we need to go see Bud. So we did. He was in the intensive care unit. Cheryl waited out in the waiting room, and I went in to see him. There was a nurse there working with him. He had tubes every which way, but, you know, he was really hooked up. Labored breathing, and I waited for the nurse to get through and explain to her who I was. When she left, I said, Bud, I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I said, unless there's a miracle that happens, it looks like you have a few days left to live. I said, I need to know that you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I want to pray with you. You know the way. Your family, beautiful Christians that have served the Lord. So I took his hand and I prayed. He couldn't communicate. I could see tears running down his cheek. And when I finished the simple salvation prayer, you know, and the one I use a lot is what our caravanners use, the ABCs of salvation. Admit we're a sinner, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Believe that God sent his one and only Son to be our Savior, John 3:16. And then C, commit, confess. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I prayed that simple salvation prayer, and when I was through, he squeezed my hand. In my heart of hearts, I believe he accepted Christ, but I thought, what a waste. That beautiful talent in those years, he could have been serving God and could have been living for God and could have been leading others to Christ. I remember this from this morning. Missionary efforts start in our hearts. That's the closest contact in our heart of hearts that we have with God. That's where he meets us and we meet him. And that's that place within us that the Holy Spirit can fill completely, fully. I don't want you, if this is a game, don't do it. But if there are those that you know in your family, those you work with, in your neighborhood, put that name on the popsicle stick and pray every day between now and Easter. Two things, expecting a miracle to happen. In some cases, it's going to take a miracle for people to meet Jesus Christ. And secondly, ask God how you can be a person to reflect the love of Christ in their lives. I'll close with this. There's a little lady in our church who said to me when I started, and that was how many years ago at Calvary? 18. She said, Pastor, don't call on me to pray publicly. I get so nervous I can't do that. And I said, I won't. Her name's Isla. I said, I won't, Isla. I'll respect your wishes there. Beautiful Christian lady. Been on work witness trips with her. Beautiful. Just, she's getting close to 80 and she can outwork the most of us. We started a prayer group Wednesday noon. And just anybody could come and pray. Nobody was called on. You know, some of the most beautiful prayers. And she began to pray in this group publicly. And I'll never forget one of her prayers. It was for her son, who's away from the Lord. She said, God, take your finger and find a soft spot, and she called him by name, around his heart, and touch him there. I thought, wow, what a beautiful image. God, take your finger. Find a soft spot around his heart and just touch him there. Write the name. Pray every day. And a part of the prayer, God, as you speak to that person, speak to that person through me. If you'll do it, do it. If it seems like a game to you, don't do it. Because this is serious. And think of that story. That guy that brought a stick representing every single member of the families of the tribe. Please send somebody to tell us about Jesus. Bow your heads, would you please? Father, we thank you tonight for your great grace. I thank you for the possibilities that you place in our lives. We can go into all the world and spread the good news of the gospel. There are so many means that we can get involved in to do that, and we do it. This church is a strongly missions-minded church. These are mission-minded people. But Father, as you've touched our hearts, and we show hearts for missions, and we realize that these sticks represent people, many of whom we know, and may we be interested enough in their salvation that we'll write their names on the stick and be reminded to pray for them every single day and be open to your Holy Spirit leading us to do anything we can to share Christ with them. In thy precious name we pray. Amen.